Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. I was thinking about the time that we lack in having to think. You know, that's something you have to do, that you have to get alone to think. You don't have much time to think today. It's because so many things are happening. It's so easy to be continually tied with the world. I saw a man the other day who has a cell phone that has an extension on it that he hooks the cell phone to his belt. And then there is a headset that allows him to have the headset to where he can be continually listening to his phone. Now he has to dial and he has to answer it. But just the thought now, there are some cars that are made that you get into the car and you can speak and the phone will dial a certain number for you. And you can answer the phone and have hands free. No problem with that. And it can be continually in communion with people all the time. And you can be continually linked up to your work all the time. And, you know, people can be going down a river headed for a waterfall, and you can tell them, look, please, look at this. You're going down. No, I'm busy. Don't talk to me now. Well, lives are like that. They are ruining their lives, and they're so busy, moving, going, hither, yon, and they don't have time to stop and to think. Is what they're spending their time in and on worth it? Are they spending their time on that which really matters? Again, I remind you that, and I've said it several times in the last several programs, of a man that was being, the story was reported on the evening news, of a man who was a drug dealer. It terrorized one of these areas, a neighborhood, a project area, I guess it was, and he was killed by someone. Apparently, the authorities feel that this man had messed. It was a drug deal that had gone bad, or not gone bad, but someone wasn't doing right about the money. And so someone killed this man in the neighborhood that this fellow had been selling drugs in and terrorizing. And when he died at the hands of an assassin, he lay there on the ground bleeding before his body got cold. People were rifling through his pockets, taking money, the wind blowing the dollar bills away. They rushed up on him. Now, while he was alive, he was gathering all of this material wealth illegally. Well, when he died, nobody stopped the people from taking the money from him. He couldn't resist. He couldn't object. It didn't mean anything to him. Had he been alive, he wouldn't have said, don't take my money. He would have said, save my life. But he was dead. And there are people who are living like this now. Give me more things. I got to get this. I've got to get that. The home is falling apart. Their health is being wrecked and ruined. Their reputation, the testimony is being destroyed. The ministry of the Lord is lacking, and yet they're concerned about getting more. And when you die, somebody else will come along and say, oh, yeah, what is this for? Who needs that? Well, I need to clean up this place, and let's just get rid of it. You want it? Throw it away. Okay. And they're on. While the person was alive, go near it. Get away from my property. Get away from my, you name it. And that was been the attitude. So I ask you, what you focus on, take time to think, is it worth it all? When you stand before God and when it comes time to give an account of your time, your days. Father, we do ask for your blessings upon us, Lord, and I ask for your blessings upon the program. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, we were on verse 20, looking at this phrase when the Lord says, "Remember the word that I said unto you." Several times that word comes up again and again, often in the book of Deuteronomy, or the idea is presented there that you are to remember lest we forget. You must remember today what the Lord did for you yesterday. Remember the salvation the Lord wrought and worked in your life. Remember that salvation. Remember the power with which He redeemed you. The nation of Israel was redeemed by power from the hands of the Egyptians. Great power, redeemed by blood. The Lord used His power to break Pharaoh's hold on them. The Lord uses His power to break the world's hold on us. And we need to remember that. And we remember that we trusted the Word of God. It was the Word, it was the promise of the Word that we heard that brought the peace to our hearts. So remember the Word. Go back to the Word. And don't try to seek after the feeling, please. Feelings change. Some days you feel discouraged. Some days you feel cast down. But the Lord is the one who changes not, and the eternal God is thy refuge. The eternal God has given to us a record, a testimony of Himself. He has revealed Himself. You see, again, if you were able to see into the spirit world, the spiritual realm of things, if the Lord were to open your eyes as He did with the servant of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6, so that this servant, so that you could see the protection you have, what would it do for you? Well, you might become arrogant and puffed up. The Lord opened the eyes of the Apostle Paul and let him see things in a world. And Paul said that it was unlawful for him to speak of the things that he had seen. The Lord opened up the eyes of John, the beloved, and He allowed John to stand on the Isle of Patmos and on that rocky volcanic island amidst rocks, craggy bushes, and cold temperature, and let him see in heaven. There is no need of the sun. Streets are made of gold, refreshing water, blessed atmosphere. He let him see that. The Lord opened up his eyes and let him see that. How did He do it? What are we to do? Go to the Word. The Lord wants us to go to the Word, not to go back on some vision we have had or some vision somebody else has had. We go upon the testimony of the Lord. We go upon what God the Lord has said. And the Lord says, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord." Now, do you find yourself getting frustrated because you think or because you are trying to be greater than your Lord? Now, what has the Lord required of us? Has He required of us to go through this life and to amass a great amount of material wealth? Was that what He did? Was that His focus? Did He command you to go and to establish great mass of crowds following you? Was that what happened with Him? Now, when it was all said and done, the apostles met in the upper room, and there were about 120 people, very small crowd. How many were fed of the loaves and the fishes? One time 5,000, another time 4,000. If you double that for husband and wife, you have a great crowd. If you double that for children, you have an even greater crowd. But then only the 120. And we know of the writers of the New Testament. Who are they? We have that. The Lord chose just a few. So do you think He is telling you to go and do something? Or do you think it should be your goal in life to see how many people you can get following you? Now, many times you go back to an example. There were 10 lepers healed. Only one came back to thank the Lord. Now, if that is the case, when you give the message of the gospel and you say, "But Lord, look how little they appreciate what I'm doing." remember. And if you find yourself getting upset that people are accusing you and saying false things about you and painful things about you, and you feel like quitting and giving up, should you? Did they say those things about the Lord? Did they say harsh things about him? Now, compare yourself. Have you ever done anything that you would be ashamed to bring to the public, to let be known that you've done? Have you ever had a thought that you are ashamed of? Ever said a word on a moment of pressure that you are ashamed that you said it? Have you ever had a response to a pressure situation that you are glad no one saw you or heard you? And now you're saying, and there are many who are discouraged, how could I have done that? Or why are people treating me like they are treating me? I've never done this thing to them or anything to them. I'm not worthy of this. I don't deserve this kind of... Wait a minute. Don't have that attitude. Because, listen, the Lord Jesus never had a wrong thought. He never had a wrong response. He never said a unkind word. And he never served himself. He came and served the Lord fully. He spoke against the wicked ones. He preached against their sin. The zeal of God's holiness opposes wickedness. And you say, but wait a minute. If he spoke against their sin and called them hypocrites and whited sepulchers, well, just think what's going to happen to those unbelievers when they die and go before God. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. And so if he spoke against their sin, he's showing them a sermon is a warning. A sermon is a blessing, telling you that you're headed in the wrong direction, telling you that you need to change and repent. So those are kind words when you preach a message, preach the truth of God. And yet the Lord suffered greatly at the hands of people, and he deserved none of that. Please don't say, but I don't deserve this. Well, we've all sinned. We've all sinned. What we're thinking, well, I struck one time, and if I did one strike, then I should receive only one stripe. That doesn't work that way. You plant one seed of whatever it is, you'll get a whole ear of corn on which there are several grains of corn. That's the way things are. Don't forget the law of sowing and reaping. So don't think that, you see, it works both ways now. If you are punished severely for one deed, then you can be blessed mightily for one deed. And we often focus on the negative and forget about the fact that God wants us to be faithful in this day, and that we're not greater than our Lord. If he suffered, we too shall suffer. And we will suffer the more we live like him. But he'll give us grace and power to live a life that pleases him. Now, Heavenly Father, I thank thee again, dear Lord, and I ask for thy blessings and thy power upon this message. And I pray thee to glorify thyself. Lord, save souls, convict sinners, reclaim backsliders, we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Our address is Light for the Pathway, 920 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29609. May the Lord richly bless you.